It is time for History Matters, joined in the studio by Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire, and Victor Lewis providing the background vocals.
Did you pop me up for that?
Kind of.
Why? Why did you do that?
It was
that?
Fun. You were on key and everything. I mean, it was great.
This music makes you feel yeah. good.
It does.
Anytime. It really does.
Bum,
it
bum, lifts bum, your bum, spirits. Bum,
you have
bum,
to, like, clench a fist bum, and bum, move bum, it back bum, and forth bum, a little bit.
Bum, yeah. And it helps if you hold, like, a beer stein in your hand while you're doing it.
Good morning.
Good morning. Scott, how are you?
Well, you made my day. There's nothing more to say at this point. But I think I will come up with a few things. You know, this is a good week where a couple things came up, and I was thinking, oh, is there anything going on that has a local connection? And there is. This is one of the more interesting ones. On November 29th, 1961, you know, casting back now a bunch of years, there was the first U.S. animal to actually be sent into orbit, and
right.
it was a chimpanzee named Enos, E-N-O-S. And what's interesting about this is that I read one description of this, who's the third humanoid. The other two were Russians.
Yep.
But, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty about what's the effect. So they send him into space, this little chimp, who's several years old, and they also had set up some experiments so that to find out if there's cognitive functioning. It's one mm-hmm. thing to send a creature or a human, but can they actually function?
So because you have no idea, like if
yes,
you're the first one, yeah.
Exactly, but here's the thing: the equipment malfunctioned, and it was the kind of conditioning, which is kind of avoidance conditioning, meaning if you hit the wrong one, you'll get a buzz or something. This chimp endured multiple electrical shocks because the center peg,
oh God,
was non-functioning. And so because he kept trying to do it, he got the right thing. He saw what the signal was. It kept shocking him. Now, that would have been bad enough, except they did it again, and he did it again and endured multiple shocks. Now, that's pretty amazing, which, believe it or not, they use this information to say, well, I guess people can cognitively function. Look, chimpanzee endured such terrible discomfort and pain. Comes down in the wrong location and is there about 3 hours. And so luckily, Enos just tears apart part of the
heck are you doing to me,
especially
Houston?
Especially any of the electrodes dealing with that, which is good for him. So
sent me up there with HAL 9000,
right,
and now
right?
it's taken 3 hours to get me back.
So you're wondering, how does this
is the chimp okay long term? Like, did they get
well,
him back? Is he
kind of about a year later he died of dysentery, but had nothing to do with
that's
his
separate,
space trip.
Yeah,
yeah. But the but you know, credit him, because the next humanoid that goes up into space is John Glenn, and based on actually the performance of this chimp, that's why they said, yes, you can cognitively function. Look what this chimp did. Therefore, John Glenn, you can too as well, which was really important. So here is the connection. The capsule that he is in, that this chimp was in, is actually at the Museum of Life and Science in Durham.
Oh, interesting.
What?
Okay.
Yes. I came across this, I'm like, whoa, that
wow.
is amazing. So I feel sometimes like the father in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. There's a connection.
Everything starts
everything
with a triangle.
Everything comes back to the triangle. Well, here's another one. December 1st is a birthday of a woman, Marie Goldschwitz. She was born in 1761, lives to 1850. She's a French wax sculptor, better known to the world as Madame Tussauds.
All right.
And she was actually scheduled to be beheaded along with Marion Antoinette and all the rest of the royals, except they realized, oh, yeah, she has this skill, so they actually reprieved her from that to make her sure that she would cast all these wax figures of people who they were beheading. And anyways, we're in her debt for keeping some of these interesting images.
The French revolutionaries were very weirdly motivated.
Weirdly motivated, that's right.
I was really hoping that story was going to be, they went to behead her, but then it turns out that it was just a wax sculpture of her the whole time. She's like off in Switzerland somewhere.
Well, here is the connection. Like, okay, what does this have anything to do with the triangle? Well, in the Daniel Boone Village at one time, which was this wonderful collection of almost like a Tweetsie Railroad and different kinds of activities, slides, and an actual working locomotive, they actually had a wax museum. But here is the irony. It burned down. But there was at one point.
Or did it melt?
It might have melted and burned it. That's very good. Thank you. That's
like right. A candle in the wind.
That's what we need to cue in those songs. That was also a place where they had an actual live zoo, but my understanding from talking with folks was that the bison kept breaking out, and finally the city council said, we can't have bison wandering down the streets of Hillsborough. So that's a little bit of that kind of connection there.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, we got time for one more, and I'm going to ask for something that starts far away and comes back to the triangle in some way.
Oh, my.
The rule of threes. We've had two stories already.
Okay, all right. Now that I love a challenge.
I know you are going to pick this challenge up. I have faith.
Okay, well, maybe so. We'll see. This is a fellow who was born into slavery. And this may not be the one you're thinking of.
Oh, I'm not thinking of any of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, in the 19th century, and around 1820, and in the Philadelphia area, he gets emancipated, and around the late 1740s. Mm. And then it's in around 1863 that suddenly he reappears as a caterer in Philadelphia with some renown. And he really has a knack for food that's really exceptional, not only in terms of a caterer, and that could have been just his life right then and there. But instead, he also notices going to an emancipation victory dinner in 1863 that the biscuits are different sizes and they're kind of hand-padded. So he begins to think about it and works on something. And finally, in 1875, he is granted a patent for a biscuit cutter that would make uniform biscuits the same size.
All right.
So if you go to any of the biscuit places and get a morning biscuit, you can thank this fellow, Alexander Ashbourne, for doing that. Also, if you ever use coconut oil, he's the guy who actually looked into this and figured out the process for refining it.
Oh, wow.
And we use coconut oil all around the world.
That's pretty rad.
It is. So that's a person that has... So you said that was a great question. Like, is there a connection? Yes. Here's a person that has a profound influence on our culinary tastes, as do all these other interesting people that have a connection with the triangle.
And that is how history and the triangle matter. Scott Washington, as
More
always.
Cowbell.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.